Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on? Bar Down Breakdown, episode 187, and this is the end of the year episode. And look who's back joining us tonight. It is Tommy V giving us a good old thumbs up that no one can see because this is audio only.
For those of you that don't get it, that's Terminator. Hello, it's me. I'm the Terminator, and I'm back. Well, a couple of quick things, and then we'll just launch right into this end of the year episode. First and foremost, huge shout out to our boy Justin for just coming in, filling in, earning the spot. Our dude was like, you know, he was that AHL, you know, top forward, and then I have to go and, you know, get my foot broken, and then my man steps up, and all of a sudden, he's on the top line. Yes, hockey fans, that's right. He's the playmaker, whereas I am the grinder, and Mikey is also the grinder, and he knows what I mean.
I know what you mean. Tom, good. You are looking good, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Hey. No one can even see this, but I just have to get it out there. Tom is looking good and healthy and strong.
Yeah, man.
So awesome to have him back. The show went on, but as everyone knows, it wasn't the same without you. And it's just awesome to fire it back up, man. It's a new year, 2023. I feel like it's a perfect time to like just add the typical Death Cab for Cutie lyrics and Further Seems Forever lyrics, and just it's the new year, and I don't feel any different. But it's a good year for Bar Down Breakdown. We got some cool things planned in a couple of months that we can't quite talk about, but I guess we can officially say that Bar Down Breakfest Part 2 is going to happen, and just everyone prepare because it's going to be sweet, and we'll tell you more when we can. But it's happening. And we're already thinking about year three.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to start thinking about year three yet. But since we have Tommy back, I think we had an agreement that year two is going to be called Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly.
So Bar Down
Breakfest 2, Electric Boogaloo. And it's going to be great. Everybody's going to have a great time. There's going to be dancing. You guys don't even know where it is. You don't even know who's playing. And that's what's great about this. I know, and you don't. So keep tuning in because, you know, maybe we'll drop some subtle hints for you guys as we go along. But I couldn't be more stoked to be back, to be hanging with you guys. It was a long, long road to, you know, feeling comfortable to kind of get back out there. But gladly, you know, I'm in a place where I can. So onward and upward, you know, I shared quite publicly that 2022 was, you know, not my year, you know, so burn it down and in the ashes, 2023 comes through and going to be a killer year. But the one thing about 2022 that I loved was all of the great music that came out. Now, before we dive too deep into talking about our top records of the year, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about 2022 in hockey, because a lot of funky stuff has happened. A lot of interesting stuff has happened. Some wacky moves here and there. And we've still got another 7 weeks until the trade deadline, I think, or something like that. So there's more silliness to come, I'm sure. But as you guys know very well for me, I'm not the hockey guy. So I'll lay out here and let my two bearded friends, will be more beardeder than me, talk a little bit about 2022 in hockey.
So I will say, I think last time we had an episode, we took a little bit of a break over the holiday season. I think the Devils were still on top of the Metropolitan, and it's been great watching Devils fans kind of cry and fall off the bandwagon a little bit. I'm all for that.
I totally agree. And I don't want to say that the Devils aren't a great team.
Well, they're an amazing team.
And have young superstars. But, they started hot. And we know that this is an 82-game season. It's a long season. It's a grind. You got to bounce back. Sorry. You got to bounce back from injuries. And sometimes a goalie or two will get hurt. And some of your stars will get hurt. And what makes a real team is being able to sustain that success. And, it's just a long season. And I do think, at the top of the Metro, having Carolina, that makes sense. I think Carolina is the real deal.
Mm-hmm. They've been consistent for the past few seasons.
Yeah. But what's a little surprising to me is how far down the Florida Panthers are. Like, thinking where they were last year to where they are this year, that's got to be surprising a lot of people. I think for the most part, the rest of the Metropolitan kind of looks the way it should. But that Panthers team sitting at seventh right now at the bottom of the Metro is just a little shocking to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure John Huberto, I should say, somewhere is – sipping a cup of tea, just being like, yeah, you fucks. Thanks a whole lot.
But it's crazy because they were easily like within the second or third spot maybe a month ago, or maybe no, 2 months ago. They were in the second, third spot in the Atlantic Division. And then they just transitioned into this I don't know. Like it's funny. I have a lot of, because I'm from South Florida, I have a lot of friends in that are part of the Panthers camp, and they're just pissed at how the team's been performing. And I think Huberto was a pretty big player on the team last season. He was a great captain, and it's hard to see him go now.
Mm. I mean, the reality of it is, yeah, he was a major player. I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people were like, well, they're gonna trade up and land, to Chuck, or I guess it was kind of like one of those things where it didn't really work out. You know, super teams sometimes where you have too many stars aren't always able to make it work, especially you look at the Maple Leafs almost every year. I mean, like, the amount of star power on that team is out of control, but can't make it out of the first round of the playoffs. So, I think that's what's interesting about a team like the Canes, right? Because they're sort of, to me, remind me a little bit of the Islanders, because they don't have a bona fide superstar. I mean, they've got like some good players, but they don't have like a superstar. So, they're able to put it together and win all these games and just be a ferocious team. And, there are a lot of fun to watch, hate to say it, because they're, as Islanders fans, Mikey and I, it's kind of stepping on our heads, but they're a ton of fun to watch, as a hockey fan, you just kind of love how they grind through games. It's awesome.
I will not give a compliment to the Carolina Hurricanes. I hate watching them play. I hate their fan base. But yeah, you know, I think the season's definitely got some surprises so far. But our Islanders, Tom, are kind of where we were expecting them. They have some games where they just look like they're going to win the Stanley Cup, and then they, you know, lose to the Arizona Coyotes, and you're like, oh my God, like this team, we need to rebuild. But I think that's kind of how every fan base is, right? Like they just want their team to win every single game. And
but the Islanders especially, I mean, that, you know, the Islanders fan base, you know, you and I know the core of that fan base all too well. You know, they're just all maniacs. I mean, like absolute maniacs, and they can go from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, when, you know, Barzy was on his assist streak, you know, and he hadn't scored a goal yet, it was like, you know, one half Islanders fans are like, oh, well, this is great, at least he's producing. And the other half was like, you know, why would we ever pay this guy money? And, you know, this is ridiculous. And yeah, it's just like, whoa, you know, like back it up a little bit. But yeah, the Islanders have kind of been meandering down. I mean, they've had some games where they looked really sharp. They had some games where they looked like they were asleep. It you know, was tough to watch a couple of these games. And, you know, they seem to work well under adversity, like, you know, like underdogs might, you know. I think the big problem with them is, you know, as a team, they when they let off the throttle, it's like the whole team does, you know. And I think that's evidenced by the way the captain has been playing. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Lee's got to kind of step up, in my opinion. You know, I think he's been kind of caught sleepwalking for these past couple of games. And, you know, the whole idea with a captain is you lead by example. So, you know, the rest of the players will fall in line if he's out there, you know, taking his 20, 25 minutes and making something of it. So, I don't know. I think they need to make some things happen. I think they need to work on some stuff. And ultimately, if they're able to stick around for the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks and stay competitive, I hope they make a good deal, you know, to see if they can do something here. You know, get Barzy a winger to play with, you know, get rid of, you know, Beauvillier or, you know, Bailey, even some of these guys who just are not producing, and go buy a, you know, a 1 year superstar and get to the dance at least.
Yeah, I think these next couple of weeks leading up to that trade deadline are going to be huge. Especially since they're right now in that last wild card spot. But we'll see how it plays out. I also don't want them to just like sell the farm and trade away our draft picks, because I'm starting to see, at least with the guys that they're calling up from Bridgeport, that it's like next man up. And it's not necessarily like the next best player up. But since the Islanders have such a system team, like if their right winger for the fourth line goes down, they have like a clone in Bridgeport that they could just fill in seamlessly. And that's why, even though we've had some pretty substantial injuries so far, we've hung around. And there's some games where it's a total flop. And like, I know that they were, the fan base was up in arms about the Seattle game, but Seattle's a good team. Like they are sitting in the playoffs right now. And I just don't think that that's necessarily like a deciding loss that we are just not a competitive team. But I don't want to just only talk Islanders hockey. I guess since it is the new year, and one thing that's very relevant around this time of year is the Winter Classic. And I don't know about you guys, I went to turn on NBC on New Year's Day, and I'm like, wait, why isn't the Winter Classic started yet? And then like, I looked at the TV guide and I was like, wait, the Winter Classic is not on New Year's Day? What the heck is up with that? Like, what was the NHL thinking? Like, why change it all of a sudden?
I don't know if it was because it was on a Sunday. Oh, it was competing against Sunday Night Football or Sunday Football.
Yeah. So what? Well, I mean, like, that
was on a Sunday.
That's your market share, man. I mean, you know, I, as much as I hate to say it, you know, sports fans are sports fans, you know, and most, even hockey fans, you know, in America especially, they're going to tune over to the NFL instead. But I agree with you. It was kind of a shock to not, you know, have it there. You know, it was kind of, and I'm sure it's not something they probably planned out, you know, years in advance, knowing that this was going to fall this way, and, you know, just decided not to say anything because, you know, hockey fans, like, if you would have said it 3 years ago, like, oh, by the way, 2023's Winter Classic is, you know, going to be on Monday, you know, the fucking, you know, the Kyle would drive down and kill us all. That's what he would
do. He's already in Nashville.
You know? Yeah, that sucks. He's too close. Get him away.
He's too close. He needs to go back. Set him across the border.
Yeah, seriously. That guy's dangerous. But no, you know, the Winter Classic, you know, it's always such an unbelievable presentation to see, you know, the way that, you know, they end up, you know, broadcasting the game and the camera angles they use and just like the wide open space and the cold. And I think it's such a cool thing, the Winter Classic that the NHL does. And, you know, it's a bummer that they didn't do it sooner, that they didn't think to do it sooner. But now that they're doing it, it's just like kind of, you know, it's like a game to be elevated for, even if it's nothing for, you know, just 2 points. It's, I think, like a badge of honor for a lot of these guys to have this opportunity, especially all the, you know, Canadians and Russians and Czechs and all those crazy guys who just played pond hockey all their lives. You know, they're like, holy shit, you know, I got to play in the snow again. You know, I love this. So I think it's such a cool thing.
So did you even watch it?
What, you're asking if I watched it? Yeah, I watched it.
Okay. And what about you, Justin? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved seeing the scenery of Fenway, too. Like, I thought it was just such a cool way how they had everything set up. And doing it at such an iconic park, too, is just, was amazing. Like, to your point, like, you had all these, you know, Russians and Canadians coming down and playing, and they're playing in probably one of the most memorable parks outside of Wrigley and New Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I like this. I think that, you know, again, you know, just take it around the country and like do it wherever you can. You know, I love it, you know, as an idea. And I also kind of hope that, you know, they take a cue from the NFL, you know, because the NFL is doing really great having these neutral site games, like, you know, the one they do in London, Mexico City. You know, if the NHL like decided to do something like that, like, you know, have, you know, like something during the regular season and you call it like the, I don't know, the Russian Classic, and like it doesn't mean anything more than, you know, points in the standings, but like make a bracket out of it, and, you know, something like that, you know, where like you can get, you know, a day or two in all of these other places around the world that love hockey. And granted, yeah, you know, the Russia's got the KHL and yada yada yada, but, you know, seeing an NHL game there, you know, not a scrimmage, not a preseason game, that's got to be like the coolest thing. So I hope that that's something that comes, you know, along with this Winter Classic stuff. But anything that they could do that's different presentation, get more eyes on the product, hell yeah.
Now, I do want to just throw one of these ideas that I heard floating around there, because I wasn't the only one that was confused turning on the TV on Monday, on
Sunday,
on New Year's Day, and not seeing it. People were like, why not just move it to New Year's Eve and start the game at like literally midnight and like do like the ball countdown for the new year, and then like drop the puck right at midnight, and then have, because what other events or sporting events are happening at that time that would be competition? And I don't know about you, I felt super old when they were like doing the promotion for the New Year's, rocking New Year's Eve and stuff, and the commercial comes on with all these artists, and I'm like, who is that? I don't even know these people. And I just felt like a geezer saying it. But truly, I did not know like half or three quarters of the artists performing for the the Rocking New Year's Eve, and I was like, geez, I wish there was something I can watch right now.
I want to go on record saying that watching David Byrne perform is the most awkward thing in the universe. Like, Talking Heads rule, but like, dude, it was cringeworthy. Like when he was on stage with Sia, and like he was like doing this weird conducty hand thing, and I didn't like it, guys. I didn't like it.
So I'm trying to figure out which ball drop you guys watched, because the one that I watched, it had like Ciara and Shaggy. Like Shaggy came out doing Mr. Bombastic, and I was just like, what year is this?
Yes, that's great.
Are we going into like 2023 or like 2007?
I know. I'll take it though. I'll take it. You know, that's a whole another topic for a whole other episode, but like, you know, Mikey and I think we kind of missed the boat when we were doing the like only 2000s thing, because like, you know, we did a couple episodes and stuff, and we should have done way more, because like the way the vinyl game is going and like how much nostalgia is being plucked out of that era,
yep,
and like pressed and selling like gangbusters, is crazy. It really is crazy. So, you know, maybe we need to revisit only 2001 to 2005 and talk more about Rufio.
Well, especially with like When We Were Young festival getting, I mean, they just did year one, two is already ready to go. I think that era is just so I'm not going to say like overhyped, because I mean, it was definitely like an amazing era overall, but you see a lot of musicians or just people on TikTok talking about it. Like even like we're doing like emo night karaoke, and they sent the set list that they were doing, and it's all songs like pre 2007. Nothing on that set list is post 2007.
Jeez, we should have done research before actually recording this episode, and we could have talked about like albums that are turning 20 years old in 2023.
Oh, I could pull that up real quick. We have the internet.
Because I know Ribbons and Sugar is. So Gatsby's American Dream, Ribbons and Sugar is turning 20 this year. Which
Transatlanticism is turning 20 this year. That's a big one. I know that. Because I think Give Up by the Postal Services too, because I think it's like a joint 20th anniversary tour that they're doing.
League of North Meteora.
Oh, that was a great one, man.
Yep.
North is turning 20. North. Yeah.
Man, I never got into North as much as Leaving Through the Window, but North is still a sick, sick record.
So that's one of those records where same thing, like when it came out, it was a little mature for like something corporate fans. But if you go back and listen to like all of the something corporate albums, I guarantee that's probably going to be your favorite one.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Cause to be truthful, like, you know, even though it's sacrilege to say, I prefer Jack's Mannequin over Something Corporate. I think that as he matured as a songwriter, he wrote better songs. And, you know, that's not to say that Constantine isn't an iconic song. And If You See Jordan isn't, you know, fucking great.
Oh, little 6-8
diddy do, but you know, Straw Dog and Kavanaugh Park and all those songs are great. But like, you know, like when you listen to them, like, and when you're 35, like sometimes you get a little cringe, you know, you're like, oh God, you know? And I guess, you know, it's just part of growing up and all that kind of stuff. But as a songwriter, I think Andrew McMahon stepped into his own with like Jack's Mannequin, and you know, now he's off being a superstar doing his dang thing. But you know, I mean, it's up to you guys, but since I prepared for like albums of 2022, we should probably do that. And then like maybe next episode, we do this 20th anniversary thing, because give me some time to do some research and I'm going to come at you. I'm going to come at you with some ditties and some slappies. Cause all I've been doing for like 6 months is listening to music. So you're all screwed.
I will say just one more on that topic, just because I bought the vinyl for this year. Take this to your grave.
Yeah, I mean, like
turning 20 years old this year.
That, and you know, that's fueling the speculation of like, are they going to do it? Are they going to go on a 20th anniversary tour? And I mean, if they do, I think that could rival, you know, My hopefully Chemical it doesn't Romance. Rival in terms. Yeah, but like a My Chem sort of deal. Like, I think it could. But how dope would it be if Fallout Boy was like, hey, we're going to do a 20th anniversary tour and play Take This to Your Grave, and every single venue we're playing is going to be under 500 cap. So fucking go get it, Tiger. You know,
the unfortunate thing is if it's sold by Ticketmaster with their new like demand pricing,
yeah,
it would be like $2,000 to get a ticket.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, I don't know. We could do it like old school and just like, you know, the band can just sell the tickets.
Or find a Sam Goody.
Or that too. Yeah.
You can get tickets, but at the only Sam Goody in, like, Alaska.
The last FYE in Florida and fucking Ocala.
Find the coconuts.
Oh, man. Coconuts, too. Wow. What a place. But yeah, so let's kind of jump into some records. But I think before we do that, somebody has a little something to say about something.
DraftKings?
I would think you do, and usually I do this, and I'm not, so
and I'm not excited.
All right, I'll take a stab at it. So, hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame moneyline on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. That's it. Dude,
that was like so good. Like, you know, I don't know why all this time you were like, you got to do it. You do it, man. You're doing it.
I had to step up the last couple of months. I've mastered the draft king.
You are the king of the draft. Honestly, you are the, what's that Russian guy's name instead of Josh Bailey that all the Islander fans wanted like 17 years ago?
Nikita Filatov.
That's who you are. Very Russian, very cool. So I have this weird question. Do you have like the ability to like splice music in?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe if you gave me time to prepare, but not on the fly.
Okay, not on the fly. I didn't really think so, but I thought how cool it would be like if like we talked about an album and then like spliced some music in, but
kind of like how I spliced in music for the intro that you didn't hear.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear.
You still have no idea even what song led us into this episode.
No, I assume it's either Keep Flying, Against the Grain, or I don't know.
Yep. So you'll actually have to listen to this episode to see. Because Tom does not listen to any of these episodes.
I don't like listening to my own voice, you know? That's just like a thing about me. You know, that TikTok trend? It's like, one thing about me is when I was 15. It's a TikTok thing. You don't understand.
That was 2 months ago, that trend.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good with TikTok. My wife is good with TikTok. Every trend that I know about is because my wife is doing it next to me on the phone. It's great. I love it. So anyways, let's talk music. So 2022, really, in my opinion, brought out some great music, some of the best from some bands that I've loved for a long time. You know, but I know, you know, for some people like Mikey, for instance, you know, I know he listened to a lot of like singles and things like that, whereas like you guys kind of know my style, I'm more of like an album guy. So, you know, for me, like if you said, oh, what great singles were there, I'd be like, I don't really know. But for me, you know, I'm an album listener. So I guess what we'll do is we'll kind of kick it up to Mikey first, and we'll let him do his first. I figure, what are we going to do, like three apiece? Is that kind of the whole deal?
That works.
Yeah. All right, cool. I think that's great. So, yeah, Mikey, why don't you lead us off?
All right. So, to just be completely transparent with having Bar Down Breakfast year one, heavy, heavy rotation for me was just all the bands that played. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was listening to those 12 bands on repeat for months and months leading up to the festival, after the festival. And you saw my Spotify Wrapped. It was pretty much every single band played Bar Down Breakfast. So I was definitely supporting all of those artists, even though I know that they're not getting much from our streams, but I was definitely showing a lot of love there. And outside of that, I'm going to cheat on my like overall favorite album of 2022. And the reason I'm saying I'm cheating is because the album actually came out in 2021, but I didn't discover it until 2022. And that's Super American. Like, their album, I think it's Sup is the title. I'm also not great at titles of albums, so I could Google it, but I'm also not good at doing that while I'm recording a podcast. So definitely that album was on heavy rotation outside of like the bands that played Bar Down Breakfast. And then my other two are just Homer picks, man. And I'm repping one of them, and he's sitting across from me on the screen. At a Time put out No Boundaries on Revival Recordings. Heavy, heavy rotation for me, front to back, just the classic pop punk that I love. I love the homies in At a Time as people and as musicians. And it was definitely one of my favorites of 2022. And then Cupid in the Family, you know, Gold Steps also put out, it's an 8-songer. It's a kind of in between an EP and LP. I don't even know what to call that. But Gold Steps released an awesome album in 2022 as well. So those are my picks. And I guess it's kind of bad when I was talking to Tom before recording, and I was like, dude, what even albums came out in 2022? And he listed off like 30. And I was just like, geez, I didn't listen to any of those. And it was truthfully because I spent so much time just spinning those 12 bands from Bar Down Breakfast so hard this year. So we can go over to Justin, because I know Tom's just going to talk for like 50 minutes. So to save everyone, and if they want to like just stop listening after Justin, then they can, because Tom's going to talk forever.
This year was kind of this year was weird. There are so many albums that came out from bands that I absolutely loved. Like just Tom said a little bit earlier, from years ago and even till now. But I'm going to start off with kind of one that kind of not flew under the radar, but kind of an underrated band in my opinion. But the album is Distance or Decay by In Her Own Words. They are on, I think, Thriller Records, if I'm not mistaken. But In Her Own Words has been probably on my top Spotify Wrapped for, oh God, 6-7 years at this point. They're consistently up there. All of their releases have just been, you know, some of my favorite albums every single year. And Distance or Decay is definitely one of the ones that I've had on repeat since it came out. Like, I can listen to that song from front to back. And it's funny, I was talking to one of my friends, Connor, who Tom and I used to work with, and he even was like, my Spotify Wrapped should just say, are you doing okay? You've been listening to this album for 6 months straight. But it's such a good album. It was produced by Derek from State Champs. It also has an alumni band. It has Jonathan Vigil from The Ghost Inside is also on the album doing a guest feature. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. If In Her Own Words is ever playing in your town, go check them out. They were just on tour with Capstan and Cherry Amore, And it was such, that show was so good. Coming in second is, you know, a band that I have probably seen more times than I have fingers on my body. And that one is The Wonder Years with The Hum Goes On Forever. I wasn't the biggest fan of Sister Cities. Like, I like Sister Cities, but it wasn't, it didn't hit me like kind of like The Greatest Generation or even Suburbia. But for some reason, this album, especially, you know, Soupy singing about growing up and being a dad and singing about these relationships that he's kind of grown up from in the last 10 years has just been, it's kind of like eye opening because he and I are almost the same age. I think we're all pretty much in the same age group, but listening to how much he's matured since, you know, even Get Stoked On It, it's just been so cool to see and kind of like that progression of like someone growing up with you. So that my second one will definitely be The Hum Goes On Forever. And then my third one is probably going to be a little bit more in line with Tom on this one. And Tom might even actually have it on his top, maybe top three, but definitely top 10. Drift by Pianos Become the Teeth.
Oh yeah. I loved that one, but you could take it.
Definitely a band that I've been listening to for so long. Baltimore post-hardcore favorites, Piano Become the Teeth. It was funny. I actually just threw on their split with Touche Amour maybe like a few weeks ago just to be able to listen to them. And this band has just kind of progressed so much since I've been listening to them, from like melodic hardcore to kind of like shoegaze to back to post-hardcore. It's just been really cool to hear it. And Drift is just this weird, dark album that is just like this hit completely different. It kind of, for someone like me who is kind of not tired of the same old pop punk, but sometimes I want to change it up a little bit. This album really, really helped out and kind of gave me that edge that I wanted a little bit more.
Hell yeah. That, I love that. Yeah, that was... Drift was so good. I mean, it was just like kind of keeping, you know, keeping in their meandering, you know, away from being more post-hardcore to being a little bit more melodic and stuff. But it's just like so haunting, all the music they write. It's just like kind of crazy. So I picked three. I don't know how I did it, but I'm going to give you some honorable mentions and I'm not going to tell you anything about them. I'm just going to say the band and the record, and you should go check them out. So to start, Wilhelm Scream, Lose Your Delusion, Sweet Pill, Where the Heart Is, Tree River, Time Being, Prince Daddy and the Hyena, self-titled record, Pool Kids, self-titled record, Pedro the Lion, Havasu, so good, Oso Oso, Sore Thumb, so good, Sweet Tooth, Mom Jeans, gotta go listen to it, 40 Ounces to Fresno, Joyce Manor, so good. Gleamer's new EP, Hear It All, so good. Hygiene by Drug Church, unbelievable. Waiting for Your Colors, Chief State, unbelievable. Anxious, Little Green House, incredible. Kodak by All Get Out. Otherness by Alexis and Fire. Just some. Go listen to them. If you didn't catch them because I said them too fast, then, you know, just hit me up. But the three records that I picked out that happen to be my favorite, I'll start with the one that came out first. I think it was back in the winter or something like that. Or it might have been it was June. Came out in June. It's by a band called Valley Heart. Record's called Heal My Head. I couldn't even tell you where to begin. I must have jammed the numbers when it was just one single like 20 times, and I was just like, this record's going to be something special. And their last record, Everyone I Ever Loved, was great. It's kind of a little bit more Manchester Orchestra-y, like, you know, a little bit more linear, but this record just has so much movement. It's, you know, these songs that are just intertwining and, like, brilliantly paced. It's just unbelievable. The songwriting is there. Again, you know, Valley Hearts, Heal My Head, really, truly one of the great records that I listen to. Coming in at number two for me is little known Ontario band called Arm's Length. So good. Their newest record, which I always get the name wrong, but it's Never Before Seen, Never Before Found, or Never Before Heard. I don't know. Never Before Seen, Never Again Found. That's what it's called. I mean, the vocalist sings in kind of the register of, you know, like people like the guy from The Dangerous Summer and Somos, like that kind of like tenor, croony, really, really beautiful stuff. And all of the songs are just like, the way the record's recorded, it's just like there's so much power in a lot of these different syncopated breakdown-y parts that like are just unreal melodic. I mean, you know, just unbelievable. You know, the record from front to start is kind of circular, which is a great thing. You know, I love the callbacks and all that kind of stuff, but the melodicism is there and it's really, really quite fantastic. And my number one record of the year, which is kind of crazy because it only came out a month ago, but I've listened to it all the way through probably 30 times, and I'll probably listen to it another 300 more, is Life After Football by the Smith Street Band. It's like, I don't even know where to start. It's like, there's Pixies in it, there's Springsteen in it, there's the Hold Steady in it, there's the Bouncing Souls in it. I mean, like, there's just all of this mishmashed greatness that come together. And the Smith Street Band, I think it's like their fifth or sixth record. Like, they've been around for a long time. They're from Australia. Will Wagner's just kind of crazy. He's a genius when it comes to songwriting, and this record is just so clean. And that's something I've never been able to say about a Smith Street record. Like, they're usually a little bit more raucous and loud, which is great at some times, but like hearing it a little bit more clean and polished on this record with the same songwriting sensibilities is like unreal. It's like they hit their level 4 Super Saiyan or something. I don't know. Dragon Ball Z reference for you, but you know, and like the songwriting content, he's a song called Elvis, and he says, "I feel like Elvis circa 77, consume, 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 then die." And then he says, something else about the corpse of Elvis getting drop kicked out of heaven, but like it's just a microcosm for like how this guy feels like he's just can't stop eating and he feels like shit. And their whole record is kind of the theme about it is like understanding and catharsis and being okay with who you are, because you know Will's undergone you know quite a few changes you know in his life, and you know I think a lot of that kind of comes out in this record. But Life After Football, the Smith Street Band. My favorite record of the year. Go listen to it. Go listen to all the other ones I talked about, and go listen to all the other records that everybody talked about, because they're fantastic. And thank God for music in 2022, because I don't know what I would have done, but hell yeah.
I didn't know we were doing honorable mentions.
Oh, so rip some then.
Oh man. So I'm actually very surprised that in your honorable mentions, you didn't bring up the other self-titled of another band that drops something this year after a 10-year break, Dr. Acula.
Oh yeah. It's so good. You're right.
Tom's not even friends with those guys.
I know. Right. Pink Shift's Love Me Forever was also great. If you're into like kind of like weird, groovy Paramore meets No Doubt meets like My Chemical Romance style, like, I don't know. It's just so good. I can't even describe it. And then, Jer Bothered Unbothered came out. If you follow Scott 2 Network, Jer is Scott 2 Network. But he put out an album on Bad Time Records that was really good. And I think Tom hit all my other ones that I listened to too, like Pool Kids, Prince Daddy and Hyena. And then one of my other favorite hardcore, post-hardcore bands that I haven't heard from in a few years, Birds in Row, just put out Gris Klein.
Oh yeah, they put out a new record too.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
really good if you're into like the more heavier kind of music. But Confetus is a really good song on that album. I really recommend it if you're kind of into something that's a little bit more faster, a little bit more heavier.
Fair enough. And speaking of heavier, hold on, I forgot one. Celebrity Therapist by the Callous Cowboys is so fucking good.
Oh yeah,
so good, so good. It's wild good. What were you gonna say up there?
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure that Just Friends album came out in 2022. That Hella. That's a.
It
a
might have.
Solid, did it? So. I don't know. Let yeah. me Google it. Jeez, but I. Oh yeah, I love that album.
Kings of the New Age came out too.
That's right. State champs. State champions. I forgot about that.
Yeah, For Your Strong on that album. They have Ben Barlow from Neck Deep on that album. Really good album. It was a really good follow-up to Living Proof. But yeah, there was way too many good albums came out. And I think that we kind of saw that coming, especially coming from like the past 2 years. Not a lot of bands have been able to do much. So they were all kind of just writing and writing and writing and writing. And I think we're kind of getting to the tipping point of all these albums coming out. And that's why it's really hard to kind of pick what a favorite album is. But yeah, too many good songs. Even The Interrupters came out with a new album. I lost Tom. Tom, you're talking, but yeah. We can't hear you.
We lost Tom.
I thought I went deaf for a minute.
Am I back? Can you hear
me? Yeah, you're back now.
It was so weird, man. I heard a beep and things got weird. But yeah, I was just agreeing with you, man. So many great records came out. So much awesome music. You know, Drive Through finally coming through with, you know, their, you know, repressing old albums. And you know, I know our homies in Near Mint have some great stuff coming out. Parting Gift Records, Take This to Heart Records, always do incredible re-releases. And even some of the, you know, bigger independent labels are starting to get back into the re-release game. You're seeing Vagrant doing some stuff, Epitaph doing some stuff. You know, they realize that, you know, the vinyl game is kind of, you know, where it's at. And now that pressing plants are starting to become alive again because, you know, we stopped pressing 500,000 copies of Adele records, you know, you're starting to see some cool shit happening, which I really love. So, you know, that's where I'm at, you know, the consummate collector, always collecting, always checking stuff out. But music was really cool in 2022. And I have a feeling it's going to be really cool in 2023. There's, you know, some cool stuff coming out, you know, even some stuff that's, you know, been announced now, you know, great band Palette Knife is coming out with a new record. John Ellison Weiss, they're, you know, bringing to us their first record in probably 5 or 6 years. A bunch of great stuff that's, you know, kind of in the mix. And I'm sure there's some great stuff in the mix that hasn't even been announced yet that's coming to follow. So super stoked for the future.
I am a little upset because this came out literally on the first day of the year, but Higher Lonely Power by Fireworks.
Yeah. I think that's going to make a lot of 2023 lists, to be honest with you. It's if you're used to Fireworks, this record is definitely a departure from what you're used to, but there's brilliance in it. There really is. There's a lot of pain in it. There's a lot of, you know, the theme of the record is just like, you know, somebody questioning, you know, their own idea of what, you know, being spiritual is, and, you know, the commercialism of God and all of this kind of stuff that, you know, is all too glossed over by, you know, conservative religious nuts, you know. But, you know, a band like Fireworks, you know, has decided they're going to use their platform to kind of be a little bit more on the nose with it, which I think is a great thing. And I think you said it best. We were talking in group chat. Like the first track of the record has like less crazy Dillinger vibes. It's got like, you know, Setting Fire to Sleeping Giants Dillinger vibes, which is like unreal to think of. But it is such a cool record. And I hope, you know, that, you know, there's a physical release that comes with it and all that jazz. And, you know, hopefully 2023 brings some more of them touring around, because Fireworks is awesome and having them back is great. And, you know, hopefully some of my other bands, favorite bands that aren't playing anymore, will just be like, well, start playing music too, like the fucking Swellers, you know, like.
Ooh, yeah.
Or, you know, whoever else. The Sidekicks broke up. That's a bummer. Yep. That just made me think about that. They had a great record in Happiness Hours that came out like a couple years ago. I'm rambling.
Didn't the Boston's break up this year too?
Yeah, they had to break up because Dickie Barrett's a fucking wiener. but it's okay to be a wiener. Sometimes you got to be a wiener. But I'm rambling, and I'm rambling because I'm so happy to be back here at home with you guys doing this. I've really missed it. You know, really missed getting to chat with you guys every week. You know, it's a big source of support and power and uplifting to me, you know, to get to do this. And to be honest with you, even if nobody ever listens to it, you know, the fact that we got to, you know, chat together and put this out into the world is good enough for me. But the cool thing is people do listen to it. People really, you know, are kind of digging what we're doing. And, you know, we hope that, you know, we were able to keep you engaged through 2022. And, you know, we hope that those of you that were able to attend Bar Down Break Fest number one in Orlando really enjoyed it. You know, Bar Down Break Fest 2 is coming up. When, where, who knows? You will have to find out. And the only way you're going to find out is by tuning in. Tuning in to our episodes, to our socials, and you'll figure it out eventually. But 2023 is going to kick some ass, man. And I'm pumped to be back with it, you know, back with you guys. And kind of looking into new ways of keeping Bar Down Breakdown fresh and awesome, and couldn't be happier. So truly, you know, from bottom of my heart, you know, thank you to everybody who's been tuning in. Thank you to everybody who sent me well wishes and all that kind of stuff. But pumped to say that, you know, we're back doing it to it, you know?
Hell yeah, brother. We're so pumped to have you back with us, even though you never really left us. Like, we were still texting and checking in on you, but to have you back on the show is just amazing. And you know, I don't think we can leave you guys off without just getting a quick update on Out of Time, because I know you guys have a show or two planned for January. I'd love to hear about that and what Out of Time has going on, Justin.
So, Bar Down and Out of Time news. The next episode of Where Did All My Friends Go podcast is going to be coming out, I believe, next week. I don't know the exact date off the top of my head.
I think the 7th, right?
Yeah, I think it's the 7th. I was supposed to talk about Bar Down and Out of Time, but the first 15 minutes of the podcast, we're talking about Guy Fieri and chicken strips. So... definitely check it out. I'll be posting a few of those clips. We have, we're playing Emo Night Karaoke on January 28th here in Orlando at Ace Cafe. It is literally Emo Night Karaoke. You get to go up and sing all your favorite songs, but the only difference is that instead of having a Casio keyboard rendition, you actually have a full live band behind you.
Wow.
So, yeah, like I was just like, wait a minute, what? And they have a full band that knows all these songs, and you pick whatever song you want to play, and they will literally play. They have the click track, you have the lyrics, go for it. So that's pretty cool. And then we have a couple cool stuff kind of lined up, ready to announce. One of them is with another alumni band here at Bar Down, Goalkeeper. We're going to be supporting them in March for a few Florida dates that I'm not able to announce just yet. And then, we're gearing up for Bar Down Breakfest 2. I mean, all the information's out there. If you just go to episode 180 with Come Clean, I think we leaked all that information.
So you guys are playing it?
Yeah, we already said this.
Okay.
Oh, Mikey, why is your daughter so upset right now?
Because she wants to be on the episode.
Well, then bring her in here.
No, you scare her.
Yeah, I don't blame you. No. I would too. But yeah, that's probably as good a reason as any to let this episode go out into the clouds, as they say. So Mikey can be a dad, and Justin can be also a dad, and I cannot be a dad. I have a dog, but yeah, that's not the same. But you know, it's good enough. So you guys got anything else before we go? You probably do. You I don't know.
No, just I might be linking up with Kyle from the Crease Rule in a couple of days. I know we mentioned that he is close. That'll be fun. So hopefully.
Give that boy a Miller Lite.
Hopefully you'll still be alive and you won't be dead because he's going to be like, oh, I wanted to drink 350 Molsons.
Oh, he hasn't. I don't think he's drank Molson since he's been across the border. I think he's legitimately been keeping it to Miller Lite.
Good for him. What a man.
So, before we go, everybody, yeah. This is going to come out a week later, but everybody go on TikTok and watch Boston Bruins fans chirping a cutout of Sidney Crosby in front of Fenway. They literally left a cutout of Sidney Crosby out for 48 hours just so Boston fans can chirp him. It's so good. It is literally one of the best 2 minutes of my life just watching these guys talk shit to Sidney, a cutout of Sidney Crosby.
That's good. That's better than like when celebrities have to read like the mean tweets.
The mean tweets.
That's okay.
Yeah, because this is the celebrities reading mean things on the internet. This is a cutout in the middle of Boston, which is already like reading mean tweets, but in person.
Yeah, so good.
Love it. Unbelievable. Yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. But guys, I can't wait for all the cool stuff that we're going to do in the new year. But until then, do you still do the thing?
We can do it.
Let's all do right. it. Well, we should do it.
All right. It's been real. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
And with your spirit now, guys. Get with the times.
Yes. Yeah, we got to add the Holy Spirit.
Justin's the Holy Spirit.
Peace.
Later, guys.